Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Echelbarker. Another day in the life of Riley is coming your way. This is episode 90 of The Life of Riley, entitled Job Promotion Exam. It originally aired on December 8th, 1945.
Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, brings you The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Remember, friends, for beautiful smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal, and just for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley in The Life of Riley. If you're meeting Chester A. Riley tonight for the first time, be prepared for a happy man who goes out of his way to change that condition. It's lunchtime at the California Aircraft Plant, where Riley is employed as a riveter. He usually spends this hour chatting with his co-worker and friendly rival, Jim Gillis. Today, however, Gillis is strangely silent.
Hey, Gillis.
Yeah?
What's that you got there?
Oh, this, Riley, is something to which a type like you never comes in contact with. It's a book. And I'm reading it.
Don't kid me, Gillis. You ain't reading. I've watched you for the last 5 minutes. You ain't even moved a lip. What's that book about?
It's about how to run a big factory. I'm taking that examination next week.
What examination?
Oh, the big boss Stevenson's trying out a new system. When a better job opens up, they ain't gonna just promote a guy at ransom. See, everybody who wants takes the exam, and the winner gets the job and a raise.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Waste of time.
That's the trouble with you, Riley. You don't look ahead. You don't try to improve yourself financially.
Oh, and financially I'm sitting pretty. I'm only 3 months behind with my rent. I'm satisfied with what I got.
You're satisfied, but is your family satisfied with what they got?
You bet they're satisfied with me. Why, Peg and me have been married 17 years. We had 2 kids, and she ain't said one word about annulling the marriage.
You know, Riley, I made the same mistake you're making. I thought my family respected me, too. And then one day, I heard a lecture on self-analysis. The professor said, go look at yourself. So I went and took a look at myself.
Sickening, wasn't it?
Very humoresque. Believe me, it woke me up. I'd begun to notice the little things.
What little things?
Oh, little cracks my family was making. Little dates. You hardly notice them things. Keep your ears open, Riley, and you'll find out why your family don't respect you.
Well, I know now why they don't respect you. I mean, they do respect me. Go ahead, Gillis, study. If you want to be a big shot, that's no skin off my nose.
A little skin off of your nose wouldn't hurt.
At least I got my nose trained. It keeps out of other people's business.
All I said was listen to see if they make them little digs, that's all.
I will not listen, Gillis. You're always trying to worry me, always putting ideas into my head. And I don't like it. There's no room in my head for ideas.
Oh, Babs, get your father's slippers. I see him coming up the walk.
Right away, Mother.
My, the poor darling. He looks so tired.
Yeah, poor Pop works like a horse.
Yes. And Junior, don't you and Babs ever forget he does it for us.
Oh, I know, Mom. But soon as I'm old enough, I'm getting a swell job. Then Pop can be a loafer.
Junior, the word is retire.
Oh, well, that's what I meant. A retired loafer. Oh, I better fold up the paper. Pop likes it nice and neat.
Hey, come home.
Oh, you're in here, dear.
Oh, hello, Jumpy.
Hello, Riley.
Hi, Junior.
Hiya, Pop.
Hey, your shoelace is untied.
Oh, yeah, I know.
My, it's time you got some new ones, dear. Oh, those are full of knots.
Peg, is that a dig at the way I look?
Hmm? Dig? Well, what do you mean, Riley?
Just remember, Peg, it ain't a man's feet that count. It's what goes on at his other end.
Here, let me tie it for you, Pop, so as you won't have to bend.
What's the matter? You think I'm getting old? I can tie my own shoelaces. There. See?
Why, you look funny when your hair falls all over your eyes like that.
Oh, so now I look funny. Ugly, maybe.
Well, for heaven's sake, Riley, don't be so touchy.
Oh, now I'm touchy. Nothing but digs.
Well, Mother, here the... Oh, hello, Daddy. I didn't see you at first.
You didn't see me? I'm sitting right here out in the open. Now I got no personality.
What, Daddy?
Oh, let it pass. Only when your father comes in the house, Babs, it ain't very nice to act like somebody just went out.
Oh, Daddy, you old silly. Here's a big kiss for you. Why, you need a shave.
Now I'm a big slob. Heck, the least your children can do is show a little respect for their father.
Well, what's gotten into you? Stop acting like an elephant with a sore ear.
Now I've got elephant ears. More little digs on me.
What are you talking about anyway?
Okay, I can take a hint. I ain't neat. I'm old. I'm touchy. I'm ugly. I got no personality. And I got ears like an elephant. Well, why don't you say it? Go ahead, say it.
Say what, Daddy?
What you've been thinking. If I hadn't married your mother and we didn't have you two kids, you'd never have even let me into this family. Ears like an elephant. I'll remember that. An elephant never forgets.
Riley. Oh, Riley.
Huh? Who's that?
It's me, Riley. Your conscience.
Oh. Well, beat it, conscience. You're always pestering me. Like last March when I was filling out my income tax.
Yes, I had quite a battle convincing you that you can't list a slot machine as a dependent.
Get away from me. I've got enough troubles.
I know, Riley. You're worried that maybe Gillis was right about your family. They don't respect you.
After all I've done for them.
Just what did you ever do for them?
I give them anything they want. Only yesterday, Junior asked me for a dime and I gave it to him.
Yes. Yes, but you made him give you 2 nickels for it. And last week, when your poor wife wanted a new hat, he didn't get it.
Well, I was broke.
That's what you say.
No, honest I was. From the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, I was flat.
Then why don't you do something about it? Get a better job.
How can I? How?
Go back to night school and study for the exam. Unless you'd rather have your family ashamed of you.
Oh, I couldn't stand that. I'll go back. I'll study. I'll pass that exam.
That's the spirit, Riley.
I'll be a big success someday. I'll prove that my wife wasn't throwing away her money when she spent her last 2 bucks for our marriage license.
Say, Pop, it's time for night school. You don't want to be late the first time.
Oh, no, that's right, Junior. I better go. I don't want to get in wrong with my teacher, Miss Jessup. She's taking charge of the exam at the plant.
Oh, how come?
Well, the boss wanted a real teacher to handle it, see? So...
Do you think you stand a chance for the job, Pop?
I don't know, but I'll study. I'm going to work my head to the bone.
Riley, why are you going through all this? Aren't you happy with the job you have now?
Well, sure, Peg, but that ain't the point. I want this family to get something. I want my daughter, Babs, to be the best-dressed girl in school and get elected to the best fraternity.
Pop, sorority.
Oh, that's right. I ain't forgotten you either, son. You'll be elected to the best sorority.
If you can fix that, I'm going to like college.
Well, Riley, you're sweet to worry about it. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Oh, thanks, Dublin. Well... I'm off to climb the tree of knowledge, and I won't be satisfied until I'm hanging from the highest branch.
begin your first session at night school with a very simple type of algebra problem. Come in.
Good evening, Miss Jessup. Teacher.
Oh, Mr. Riley. Pray tell me, what are you doing here?
I come to get educated.
I repeat, what are you doing here? Your record last year was unbelievably deplorable.
Oh, well, don't worry, teacher. This year it's going to be believable. I got a reason to work hard now. I want to take that test for the new job at my plant.
Oh, you are? Mm-hmm. Well, now, that's most commendable. I shall do my very best to help you.
Oh, thanks, teacher. I hear that you're in charge of that exam.
Yes, that's correct.
You're going to mark our papers on the exam, too, I guess, huh?
Naturally. Now, take your seat, please.
All right. By the way, teacher, I have a little something for you. Here. I hope you can use a pair of nylons.
Nylons? Oh, thank you, Mr. Riley. Mr. Riley, I trust this gift has no bearing on the exam. You know that I would never allow myself to be influenced.
Oh, no. You got me wrong. I'm giving you these nylons because you're so lovable.
Oh, well, in that case, I see no reason why I shouldn't accept your little gift. Mr. Riley, there seems to be only one stocking here.
You get the other one after I pass the exam.
Peel has just brought you the first act of The Life of Riley, and we'll be back with night school student Riley in just a moment. Meanwhile, this is Ken Carpenter. You know, people used to be real shocked when we told them they were grinding cavities into their own teeth, grinding in ugly cavities at the gum line by the daily use of toothpastes and powders containing harsh abrasives. But now millions of people use Teal to avoid such damage. Millions of people know that Teal cleans teeth without abrasives. They realize the tremendous importance of that fact to the beauty and well-being of their teeth. But do you realize that importance? Do you know that out of every 10 adults, 8 have receding gums? And that when gums recede, softer parts of your teeth are exposed, 25 times softer than tooth enamel? Yes, it's a fact. And those softer parts are easily damaged by daily brushings with toothpaste or powder containing harsh abrasives. The chances are 8 in 10, you're risking ground-in gum-line cavities right now, unless the dentifrice you use contains no such abrasives. Well, Teal alone, of all leading dentifrices, contains no abrasives. Cleans teeth safely and gently with a patented ingredient. Therefore, Teal protects teeth from ground-in gum-line cavities as no other leading dentifrice can. The Teal way takes one extra minute a week to make teeth look their sparkling best safely. Just follow the easy directions on the package. Everybody loves the tangy flavor of Teal, its refreshing aftertaste. Insist on T-E-E-L, Teal, the safe liquid dentifrice. And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, Riley's been going to night school to prepare for the important exam that's being given at the plant where he works. The worker making the best mark gets promoted to a better job with a raise in pay. Now, the time has come, and poor, scared Riley is walking to the examination room, where he's stopped by a shifty-eyed man named Denny.
Riley, just a minute.
Oh, hello, Benny. Benny, is that the room where they give the exam?
Yeah. You taking it, Riley?
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go in.
Hey, listen, Riley. Want a tip on today's winners?
Well, you know I never bet on horses, Benny. I gotta go inside now.
Oh, you got me wrong, Riley. I'm branching out. Instead of the ponies, I'm in the educational racket. Now, I got here...
No, I gotta go, Benny. I'm almost late.
Better late than helpless, chum. Listen, you're taking the exam to win, ain't you? Natch. So I can put you onto a good thing. Straight from the feed box. I got here all the winning answers. Right here on this little cheat sheet.
What? Well, Benny, how did you get the answers?
Oh, I know my way around. Same as at the track. Now, with these here answers, you win by 10 lengths. Slip me $2 and it's yours.
But it ain't honest.
What do you mean it ain't honest? I take a note. These are the correct answers. Come on, Riley. Slip me a deuce. This is a sure thing.
No, I ain't no cheater. Anyhow, I ain't got no dough.
I hate to see a lovely character like you get left at the post. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm putting these answers here in your pocket, see?
No, I don't want it. Take it back.
It's in your pocket. Why make a fuss? If you don't use it, you owe me nothing. If you do and it pays off, I'll see you around for my cut. So long, chum. Keep your nose out in front and ride to win.
No, Benny, come here. Take it back. Benny, I don't want it now.
Who's making all this noise? Oh, it's you, Mr. Riley. If you're not inside in 10 seconds, I won't permit you to take the exam.
Oh, wait, Miss Jessup, please. I've been training for this race. You can't scratch me now.
Only 2 minutes more, then pass in your papers.
2 minutes. 4 answers to go. Oh, gee, these are tough. I'll never make it. There's only one way I can get these answers and win.
Riley.
Listen, Conscience, beat it, will you?
Riley, don't touch that cheat sheet.
I ain't touching it.
You're pulling it out of your pocket. Put it back.
I can't. It won't let go.
Riley, don't look at it.
Just one little peek. It's not for me. It's for my wife and kids.
They'd rather have you lose than cheat.
They won't know. Unless you shoot your big mouth off. I gotta be a success. That new job means more money.
How can you spend money you get by cheating?
I'll force myself.
Think of your family. They'll hate you if they find out.
You're right. You're right. I mustn't do it. I won't cheat.
Throw that sheet away.
Yeah, look, I'm throwing it away.
Mr. Riley, what's that you just took out of your pocket?
My hand.
And what is in your hand?
Five fingers. A thumb, a pinky, and a few middle fingers.
Let me see that paper you took out of your pocket.
Wait, I'll read it to you.
Never mind, I'll read it myself, thank you.
Here's Miss Jessup.
Oh, I was afraid of this. Mr. Riley, I never thought you'd stoop low enough to cheat.
No, I didn't cheat. I took it out to throw it away, Miss Jessup. Honest.
Mr. Riley, hand in your examination paper.
Yes, teacher.
Now you can go. I shall report your disgraceful conduct to your employer, Mr. Stevenson.
But I didn't cheat.
Please, leave this room.
Okay, I'll go. I just want to say one thing. You're accusing me of being a cheat. But I say like Captain John Smith said to Pocahontas before she chopped his head off. You're hanging an innocent man.
Is that you, Riley?
Hello, Dumplin'.
Daddy,
how did the exam go this morning, dear?
It went.
Well, that's fine. I'll bet you can't wait for the results.
I can wait.
Oh, is that you, Junior?
Yeah, it's me.
Why, Junior, dear, you've got a black eye.
Oh, gee, what a shyness.
Junior, how many times have I told you not to go around fighting? Who was it?
Shorty Gillis. But I had to do it.
You got no business.
I did it for you, Pop.
I can fight Shorty myself. What do you mean you did it for me?
Well, he called you a name. He said you were a cheater.
Forget it, Junior. Go wash your face.
No. Just a minute, Junior. He called your father a cheat?
Yeah. He said that
Pop... Okay, Junior, that's enough. Peg, I guess I might as well tell you myself.
What happened, Daddy?
Well, At the exam this morning, Miss Jessup accused me of cheating.
Cheating? Yes. Why, that's ridiculous. What made her do that?
I don't know. Just because she found the answers in my hand.
Oh. Oh,
Dad. But it was an accident. I just happened to pick it up.
But where did it come from, Daddy?
Well, my pocket.
Oh, your pocket?
But I wasn't cheating, honest. I swear, I was going to throw it away, you see.
Riley, if you say you didn't cheat, that's good enough for us. We believe you.
Of course we do.
And your word's good enough for us, even if you did it.
Gee, you're a wonderful family. I don't deserve such a wonderful family.
Oh, now, now, dear, don't talk like that.
Well, it's true. I disgraced you. The whole neighborhood will know from Gillis, that scandal mongrel. And not only that, my boss will probably fire me for this.
Well, I don't care. The main thing is you didn't do it. Now, come on, dear, eat your supper. You'll feel better.
No, Peg, I ain't got no appetite. I'm going outside and blow my brains out.
Riley!
Oh, no, just with some fresh air.
Who there, Riley?
Huh? Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
You're looking fine, Riley. Very natural.
Well, maybe so, but that ain't the way I feel. Tell me, Digger, were you ever in a tight spot where you didn't know which way to turn? Sort of all boxed in?
Not I personally, but I know what you mean. And what's troubling you, Riley?
Well, I don't feel like talking about it, Digger.
Oh, you know me, Riley. I'm your friend. If you're trying to hide something, I'll be glad to cover you up.
Well, you see, Digger, I took an exam this morning.
Ah, examination. Last minute cramming the night before. Your heart palpitating wild laugh as you enter the classroom, your brain frantically searching for the answer, lest you fail and be in disgrace. I adore examinations. They're so gay.
Well, this one wasn't. I was accused of cheating, but I didn't. I swear, Digger,
I know you wouldn't cheat, Riley. I've known you for years. And you've always been honest and above ground.
You mean above board.
Above ground is better, believe me.
The worst of it is, this exam was run by the plant, and now my boss will probably fire me.
Oh, my word, I just saw your boss a few moments ago, going into your house with Miss Jessup.
My house? They come to fire me. I know it. I gotta get home. I need that job. If I have to, I'll get down on my knees and beg for it.
No, Riley, be a man. Beat him to the punch. Resign before he fires you.
You're right, Peter. I got my pride.
Speak right out. Tell him you don't have to take his guff, even if he is the kingpin.
Kingpin.
And head of the plant.
And head of the plant. That's just what I'll say. And someday he'll be sorry. He'll beg me to come back.
That's right. So just be patient, like I am. In my profession, we have a saying. Everyone comes to him who waits. Cheerio.
Sure, Riley will be home in a few minutes, Mr. Stevenson, if you don't mind waiting.
Why, not at all, Mrs. Riley.
I imagine the incident this morning upset him considerably.
Oh, my, yes, Miss Jessup.
He was afraid he's going to be fired.
Well, that's just like Riley, imagining the worst. Well, he's got nothing to worry about on that score.
Oh, Riley, I'm so glad you're home. Mr. Stevenson's here to
talk. I see him.
Yes, Riley, how are you tonight?
I'll do the talking around here, Stevenson. I resign. You can keep your measly job. I wouldn't work for you if you paid me.
Riley, what are you saying?
Now, hold on a minute.
I don't have to take no guff from you, even if you are the king pinhead of the plant.
Riley, will you be fine?
No, Peg, I got my pride.
Just a moment, Mr. Riley.
Yes, teacher?
If you'd allow Mr. Stevenson to get a word in, you'd learn that he's not here to fire you.
Wait a minute. You mean I'm not fired?
Of course not. You've still got your job.
Yes, Riley. And you can have it for life.
What a revolting development this is.
We realize that you had an opportunity to cheat this morning, but we know now that you didn't. I'm proud of you, Mr. Riley.
Well, so am I. But how did you find out that I didn't cheat?
Well, that sheet I caught you with had all the right answers. Yet when I read your paper, I discovered that you were the only one who had every answer wrong.
All of them?
Every single one.
Every answer wrong? Ain't that marvelous? It just goes to show, it pays to be ignorant.
Riley's will be back in half a minute. If you're smart, you'll start using Teal on your toothbrush right away. Teal instead of toothpaste or powder. Teal protects teeth from ugly gum-lined cavities. Cavities ground in by the daily use of toothpastes or powders containing harsh abrasives. Teal cleans teeth without abrasives, avoids the risk of such unnecessary cavities. Ask for T-E-E-L. Teal, the safe, refreshing liquid dentifrice.
I have received a comment and a question from one of our listeners, Matt G. He writes, "Thank you for your podcast. It makes my drive to work and home very enjoyable. I can put on your podcast and get rid of my stress. I appreciate the theme music and miss it when it's not played. I do have one question about the first season of The Life of Riley. Why does Ken Niles say, meat is the yardstick of protein foods? He says protein instead of protein. Was it just something he did or a mistake he made and chose to stay with it? Signed, Matt G. Well, that is an excellent question, Matt. I did a bunch of searching around, but I could not find out why Ken Niles said protein instead of protein. I even went to the American Meat Institute website to try to find something. Of course, it's not even named that anymore. And it's been a long time since they sponsored anything. But yeah, could not find anything on why Ken Niles said protein. I did, though, find this. There was one person in a forum who wrote that they once had an extremely annoying science teacher who pronounced it protein. So all I can guess is that some people just pronounce it that way, and at least one person who did was annoying. So I don't know if that answers your question, Matt. Maybe it's just one of those eternal mysteries. But thanks for listening. I'm glad you are enjoying it. Now, please send your questions and comments, as Matt did, to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Friday for another episode of The Life of Riley, and check in on Monday for the next installment of My Favorite Husband. Until next time, in the words of Ricky Gervais, I've never worked out what the moral of Humpty Dumpty is. I can only think of, don't sit on a wall if you're an egg.